This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
So this week we found out what the opening salvo of candidates look like for the city council and mayoral races that are coming up. We won't know totally until next, Monday, I guess, Paul, when the deadline closes as far as turning in petitions. But we've entered with a whimper.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty well over as far as the people that will be involved in it, except if there are challenges made.
I thought people could still file.
I think this last Monday was the deadline.
Okay.
Yeah, because it went through Thanksgiving week, and then Monday was the last day, at least to my knowledge.
Okay, you may be right. I may be wrong. I thought that it was the opening day that people could file the petitions because the mayor was down there at 8 o'clock to be the first one
that
in.
That was the opening day, but a week later was the last day.
Okay.
It's last Monday.
I guess maybe that's right. Maybe I'm thinking about school board. Look. Wrong
time
all the time
flies.
Here.
Time flies when you're having
so
fun.
If this is it, we've got four running for three for the council seats, right. And we've got three running for one for the mayor's seat.
Right, yeah.
And the weird thing is the council is, with the outside exception of Carl, either former or present council members.
Yeah, Pat McDaniel deciding to run again. He served for 10 years. He didn't run for re-election, two years ago, but he's back this time. So the choice you have of the four candidates for three seats, you really have three of the candidates, either incumbents or a former incumbent. And Carl Coleman is presently serving on the Macon County Board, so he's an elected official
now,
already.
He can't serve both of those offices, can he?
I would think he'd have to. If he wins council, he'd have
to. He's also, I think, resign. The Democratic chairman for the Macon County Democrats, which is not an elected office. But so he's plugged in. He works for Senator Turner. People know him.
Right.
The other two candidates for mayor, I have no idea.
I don't either. The names popped up, and I think one appears before council and kind of challenges the mayor and others and has different comments and certainly has a right to run if they want to see things differently. But I really have not been acquainted with anything that they've been involved in, that's been that high profile in the community. And certainly when you're running for an office like mayor, you want some kind of a track record where you've been involved in, with people, they know you, and to an extent that you can be elected, to public office.
You're absolutely right. That closed Monday, so we do know. I was wrong. I don't know what I was thinking, but you were right. So we do know this is what it's going to look like, unless there's challenges. Now, the challenges, can they be challenged by anyone, or does it have to be the mayor that challenges those two candidates?
No,
when we say challenge, meaning you had to have a minimum of 85 signatures, and they were both very close to that 85 mark, and it's just not uncommon to have bad signatures, meaning somebody lives out, maybe their school district's in Decatur, but they live in Long Creek or vice versa. It's not hard to knock four or five names off a list.
No, it's pretty close. That's why you really want a lot, and a citizen can, to my knowledge, challenge the number of valid signatures. Maybe someone who favors the present mayor saying, need to take a look when it's so close. And that's the thing, too, that when you're collecting these signatures, you want to make sure that you have those that won't be thrown off the ballot, some person that doesn't even live here or, those don't count. And when you come so close, maybe three or four over the required number, I would say in both of the cases of the challengers to Mayor Julie they could both be taken off the ballot if they have valid signatures, fine. They're on. But
I'm assuming that it would be someone else that would challenge because the mayor wouldn't want to look like the person trying to knock people off the ballot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, you don't want to say I'm going to eliminate my competition by challenging the number of signatures, valid signatures they have. So someone that would favor her, a friend of hers, or just a citizen, a private citizen, saying,
right,
I want to make sure these people that are running against her, have the right number of signatures and qualify to be on the ballot. So that's understandable. It is.
Okay. Are you constantly surprised that it's only 85 signatures? I mean, that just seems like such a low bar.
Well, yeah. When you consider the size of you know, of the community and the importance of the office. I mean, if you can't get that many, if you can't get double that many signatures, I mean, how many votes do you expect to, you know, expect to get in an election?
Yeah, I know there are people that think that these rules are in place to sort of keep, you know, ordinary citizens down and not, you know, able to run. But the idea is that you don't hijack this and turn it into just some big lampoon. I mean, the idea is if you're serious about running, you got to have a small percentage of people that you've convinced, you know, it's a good idea for them to support you as mayor or council, and you need them to sign.
Yeah, the bar is really pretty low, you know, and I think that's the other side of this, that you don't have to go out and collect 5,000 signatures in order to get on the ballot, but you do have to show there's interest in your campaign, there are those who are supporting you, and that you're qualifying by having the right number of signatures to be on the ballot. And if you cannot collect, you know, 85 valid signatures, then you're going to have a problem. You're not going to be on the ballot.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But it doesn't seem up front like either one of these folks would be much of a challenge to a sitting mayor who's been, you know, reelected a couple of times.
Yeah, I think my
uphill battle.
Yeah, as it stands now, and I think I wrote about this in my column this week, that I think the mayor has won re-election unless something highly unusual happens, because even if both of these candidates have the right number of signatures and they're on the ballot,
they're going to split a certain amount of votes that are anti-mayor votes.
And that works in the mayor's favor.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to get an enormous number of votes because of people like the job that she's doing. And if they split the vote, you know, then neither one of them really has an opportunity to beat the sitting mayor.
Okay. What do you make of the council? What do you make of, I assume what I've heard is that literally, you know, Bill Faber decided not to run so late in the game that it sort of kept people from running or caught people off guard, and Pat McDaniel was recruited to come back.
Yeah, that's. I think it's pretty much the.
In fact, I've run into two people that have asked me to sign his petitions that were not him.
Yeah, well, and that's not unusual to have other people,
to
help
get those whole 85 signatures.
Yeah, so you divide it up, you need 20 apiece. So, but yeah, and I think you're exactly right. I think the Bill did Bill reveal late that at least in terms of people being interested in running for the office that he wasn't going to run, and you have to think that if he decided to run for re-election, we probably would have just had the three incumbents running, because with Bill dropping out, we had Carl Coleman step in and decide he wanted to run because there was an open seat, and then Pat McDaniel also. Probably neither one of them would have run. We would have been voting for three incumbents, and they three names on the ballot.
Yeah. What do you make of the difference between 2 years ago and today, where there were 13 candidates on the ballot? I think one of them maybe dropped out towards the end. But, I mean, a stark difference in 2 years.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like overall, I don't know if it's just exhaustion from what's been going on, you know, in the district and nationally that people have kind of lost interest in running for public office. I think we see a new attitude, and not necessarily a better attitude, in the community itself. We used to have a lot of people involved in service clubs and that. The service clubs are shrinking in attendance. These are the people that would step forward and say, you know, I'm working for my club here. I'm belonging to organizations. I want to serve on city council now as a next logical step. I don't see that kind of interest today that was there, say, a dozen years ago or 20 years ago. I know when I ran, I had three solid candidates running against me in the primary, a sitting council member, Betty Stockert, and certainly Pat McDaniel was running at that time. He had been involved. And then David Butts, who was on the school board. We had people that were involved in the community or serving in the community. And I don't really see that today. And I think it's healthy for our city to have candidates work up and debate the issues. And when you think about it, the election is a time that we tell the mayor, or the city council members, you're doing a good job. You know, other people want to serve in there, but right now
or not.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to cast my vote for you because you're doing a good job, and it's a pat on the back. And that's what elections are about. That's where the people get to say, yeah, I'm going to voice my opinion. I don't think you've been doing a good job. I'm going to vote for somebody else who's running for that office. And it seems like, and we talked about this earlier, in our district races, in our state races, that option has been taken away in many cases from the voters. So many unopposed offices today that you cannot have a choice except one person running. So I was disappointed that we didn't have more. It's not that I think the people in office or the incumbents are doing a bad job. It's just like it's a little unfair to them to say you have this job because nobody else wants it.
It would be nice to sort of hit some sort of happy medium between 4 and 13.
I think
the political environment 2 years ago was, you know, really on edge in this country. Not that it's much different today, but during the height of COVID, and I think it, you know, brought a lot of moths to the flame. You know, people were yelling and screaming at each other, and people wanted to run. I don't know. That doesn't seem as loud today as it did 2 years ago.
No, and I think people are just exhausted. I think they're tired. I think they're tired of all of this. I do. And I think there's a certain rudeness out there that's developed that you serve in office, you and your family are going to be subjected.
Well,
at times
I think that when you served as mayor, you know, even when Tuna was there, I would even say at the beginning of Mayor Wolf's, tenure, we weren't playing as much national politics at a local level, meaning you didn't have people playing red versus blue, vax versus anti-vax, you know, stolen elections. You didn't get that as much at a council or school board meeting. And now that's everything's at play.
Well, I think you look at that and you're exactly right, because we had, the council position, the mayor's position, those are nonpartisan jobs. You know, the politics were not coming through at that time. I mean, we had labor represented on the council. We had business represented on. We had a diverse group of council members, and that meant for a lot of debate and a lot of arguing. But at least about everybody in the community was represented at that time. And some of that's disappeared. I think you're right. It's because of the politics on the national level has changed that. That's been injected.
It's now been put in the local politics, which really, you know, you're not running as a Republican or a Democrat or any of that. You're running as a civil servant. Now, school board candidate filing begins December 12th and ends the 19th. I'm telling you right now, this is the most important thing going on in our community right now that hardly anyone will be paying attention to. I just hope there's some decent candidates.
Yeah, and I'm concerned about that too, and probably for the same reason as the council race, that how many people are we going to have step forward that are valid, legitimate candidates, you know, that are serving, want to serve for the right reason, and their goal is the education of our children and building a better educational unit.
That board needs a lot of work, though, and needs some sort of, we can argue all day about the success or the failure of District 61. I mean, if you look at what's happening with these scores and reading and math and all of the conversation over the last couple of months about, you know, this study and then the Wall Street Journal article, if you look at where they're saying the success is school districts around Decatur that 30% can read and do math at their grade level.
Yeah.
That's considered the success.
Yeah, that's shocking.
7 out of 10 can't read or write at their level, but they're considered at the top of the class.
Yeah.
All of this ought to be unacceptable.
Yeah, that's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the first time I heard that, I was shocked.
I mean, I was stunned. Yeah. I mean, it's like everybody's going, well, over here, it's 11%. I'm like, well, what's successful? 30.
Yeah. Yeah, 30 at any test is losing. Yeah, it is bad.
You know, so and we don't need to be arguing about these national issues. We need to be getting back to the basics and getting these school boards to be there for the right reason, which is to make sure that these kids get a quality education.
Well, that's right. I think, you know, so much of our tax money, a big chunk of tax money, goes to our schools. And you talk about wanting to be represented on council. Your property taxes are going more for schools than for city government.
Well, and they've had so much fluctuation. You think about, okay, we got to get this board out. We get that board out. And then the next board comes. We got to get that board out. And then they go out. And then at the same time, you're churning through superintendents. I mean, there's
And I think that's what's disturbing also. I mean, in roles that are so important in our community, you've got to have some stability there. And as I wrote this week, I think even on council, I can like to always see a mix, you know, those with experience on council and newcomers with new vision, new energy, new ideas, of new ways of looking at things. And you need that on the school board, too. You need those with experience, those with proven track records, and those who are coming on that have a new vision, you know, that want to see things done and have the energy to do it. And when you serve for a long time on a board, a lot of that energy goes, and you're surviving more than a new vision that you may have.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right. Well, it is interesting to we'll see what happens. But, I mean, this is literally coming up in April. We're not that far away from this.
No, we're not. What, April 4th?
It's
when that's going to happen. And then the candidates for Richland Board, too, before too long, will be filing for that. You have 3 6-year terms. You know, that are up there. So we have all of these elections involving our community that are going to be coming up, and the vote's going to be April 4th. And you say we get through the holidays, we're going to be right on that election. There won't be a primary this time, obviously, when you only have, you know, 4 candidates for city council.
And we'll have a fraction of the turnout that we have in a presidential election or even a midterm election.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other side of it. If someone who's really serious has a golden opportunity, you know, or had a golden opportunity to win a seat on the school board if they get out and hustle. And it doesn't seem to be the interest there. And I feel bad because there are a lot of issues this city is going to be debating and facing in the future. And I think the mayor's done an excellent job leading us through the pandemic and everything. She's always been there, great communicator. She's going to be tough to beat, and I think she's already won re-election from my perspective. But I think you need a strong council, too. You need those that can also share the vision and move the city forward.
Yeah, and we'll see how that all works out. All right, well, listen, we're in December.
Already.
Is to believe, right?
Yeah. This year's gone by faster than any I can remember. It's just been like 2 months.
It feels like it. It really does. But important work. I would encourage you. I saw a nice full color page ad in the Tribune here today. If you want to buy a subscription for a loved one, perfect idea for a Christmas gift. And will Bill Faber still be doing his ads now that he's no longer going to be on the city council?
I don't know. I assume so. He hasn't said anything to me about not doing them. And so I think he has one coming out next week. And so.
Gift of a subscription. Well, I hope he keeps writing them. I get a chuckle out of those. Congratulations to St. Teresa, right? Why would you not? Some of the grown-ups and the adults and their behavior and remarks on social media. I don't know why in the world you wouldn't root for any area team, no matter who it is, to do what St. Teresa did last week.
Well, I'm excited, and I think when St. Teresa wins, the whole community benefits.
And I would have said the exact same thing about Borough Forsyth or Eisenhower or Mount Zion or Argentorian or Warrensburg Latham. We should all celebrate when we have a state championship.
It's a good thing.
Yes.
It's a good thing. It's a feel-good thing.
Can you believe it had been that long, though? I mean,
43 years.
Was that what the number was? 1979. That's just crazy. But kudos to them. I know as mayor, that would have been made you very proud.
Yeah, and I think that was, you know, you talk about some of the fun aspects. I think rewarding teams that excel in our community and seeing the young faces and that, having them come before council and giving them special medallions and that. I did that with the Milliken team, the girls team, and they went so far. With Lori Kearns and
won a national championship.
Yeah, and that's fun. I mean, you talk about there are a lot of things you do as mayor
that are not fun.
That are not fun, but this kind of balances out those kinds of things. And I think that's one reason that mayor said that she liked the job, she loved the job. There are a lot of things like that that appeal to your sense of what's going on in Decatur that's so positive in this day and age.
All right, Paul, we appreciate you. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.